Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me today, Cheryl.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Also, Assistant Democratic Floor Leader, a very busy day at the Capitol. I started that off the program that way as well with my first guest. A lot happening on the Hill, on the Capitol, and hard to keep track of it all. But we had some budgets come out of conference committee and pass today. The higher education budget, why don't we start there? How do you feel about what's happening with the higher education budget? Some good news and some bad news I'm hearing.
There is, I believe, and Cheryl, I have to mention that I'm no longer, as of January, no longer the Assistant Democratic Floor Leader, but I'm the Vice Chair of Appropriations now for the Democratic side.
Thank you for that correction. I titles are important, and I don't know how I did that, but thank you, sir.
That's okay. The higher ed budget, I haven't seen the final version, but my understanding is that some things were changed in that budget. My understanding is some of the problem language, I think, that was in the bill, I think, has been put as intent language. That's the last thing that I heard. I have not seen a hard copy of the bill yet because I think they just met on that just a short time ago this afternoon.
My understanding, also with just some pieces of it that were of concern and caused a lot of headlines and discussions, was the higher education budget. My understanding is they are going to get the 15% cut, but some of the dollar penalties were pulled out in terms of partner benefits. Is that part of your understanding?
That's my understanding also, and it is problematic. I mean, we have our state constitution gives a tremendous amount of autonomy, whether you agree or disagree with that. Our constitution does provide that for our universities, and my understanding is that while a member of on the House side had originally tried to attach a penalty, which would have cost universities an additional 5% on their federal or their state dollars. They would have. I understand that in the version that came out of committee, it did not include that penalty, but instead turned it into boilerplate intent language, and that's not binding. But it is still problematic that we're doing that. I mean, we have some legislators that are trying to micromanage our universities, and the Constitution clearly says we can't do that, and for good reason. There are political positions that people take that should not be part of educating our young people in our universities.
Is this just part of politics when these kinds of things get thrown in, or? I guess that's my question.
It's unfortunate that it happens, but it is part of the political realm. And I think our forefathers and foremothers, I should say, that when they put together our state constitution and when it was approved by voters, there was a value seen, and recognized at that time that our university should have autonomy, that it wouldn't be subject to the political whims of the particular day of the legislature, and we've seen an extreme move to the right in this legislature, and with that comes some of these philosophical positions that are not necessarily don't work well with the education of our young people.
And the process, for myself, because I think if I have some of these questions, other folks listening will as well. The budgets come out of conference committee, and then what is the process from there before the governor's signature?
The way this process this particular year is different than we've had in the past. It's similar in the Senate side that the conference committee report will come to the full Senate for a vote, and then before they proceed to the House side, there's going to be a committee that'll meet omnibus committee that's going to roll those budgets as approved up into two larger budget and a smaller budget, one dealing with education, the other with virtually all the other budgets in one large omnibus budget. that the Senate will take or the House will take up, and that's at the insistence and desire of the Speaker of the House.
Very good. Moving on to a wonderful project you've been involved with, introducing legislation to create a pink ribbon license plate, which will raise funds for Michigan Breast and Cervical Cancer, a control program that helps low-income women. What a great project.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's something that I believe very strongly in. My mother is a cancer, breast cancer survivor. I know many others that have been, you know, that have had this health problem to deal with. And the chair of the committee, even I know that his wife has had two bouts with breast cancer. So we actually, I introduced it last week. Had 37 co-sponsors, so the entire Senate is on board sponsoring this bill with myself as a primary sponsor, which I'm grateful for. I was told it was the first time in 10 years, at least 10 years, that the entire Senate has signed on to one bill on both sides of the aisle, 100% co-sponsorship. And we took the bill up in committee, or it was taken up in committee, I should say, by Senator Casperson from the Upper Peninsula, from the 38th District today in the Transportation Committee, and was passed out of committee today. So we're hopeful that we'll get action on it before we take any break. And it's likely to happen, if not tomorrow, next week.
Well, and of course, the proceeds are amazing, and the project involves low-income women. We'll give them access to cancer screening services and follow-up care and treatment if needed. And of course, we all know at this point in time, thankfully through education, that early-stage diagnosis is the best chance of survival.
It truly is. And many times, as you mentioned, low-income women do not have any type of health care. They are not aware of anything that can provide that to them. And this program is a very worthwhile program. I, in fact, know someone personally that had no insurance. Her husband had been disabled. The family had no insurance, and she discovered a lump, and she was just beside herself trying to decide what she could do, and then she was told of this program by someone at one of the hospitals, and she received a total care through this program. So I think it's a very worthwhile program. And I was at the Race for the Cure on Saturday in Detroit, next to Comerica Park, and was able to mention that to several news sources as well as the crowd that was there. And it's just been a tremendous response.
Well, it's amazing to get a consensus. Congratulations on that alone. And you're raising the money for the startup cost on your own, so no tax dollars. Congratulations, sir, and I look forward to talking with you again. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Cheryl.